You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, what does folk mean and who gets to define folk music? A Wisconsin researcher tells us how a pivotal Bob Dylan performance highlights an ongoing debate in American culture. First, between now and the August 14th primary, Wisconsin Public Radio has invited candidates who are running in contested primaries for statewide office and congressional seats to join us for interviews on Central Time and on the morning show. You can find all those interviews at wisconsinvote.org. Paul Nealon is a businessman running for the House as a Republican in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. That includes Janesville. Paul Nealon, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on.
We'll start with your elevator pitch. If you had 30 seconds to pitch yourself to your potential voters, what do you tell them?
I tell them that I've been a fortune-level businessman running businesses around the globe, and I've closed several facilities in Mexico and Canada and brought those jobs back to the United States, many of them to Wisconsin. So I'm an engineer with an MBA. I've been very accomplished and will work very hard, and I've worked very hard for the nearly 20,000 employees that I've had over my career.
On a related note, tariffs have been a big issue. President Trump has gotten criticism from fellow Republicans over some of his tariff policies. What's your view on those?
Well, my view on it is that I'm a strong supporter of tariffs, and as your listeners probably know, the United States was funded on tariffs and excise taxes all the way up until 1913, I believe, when the 16th Amendment was passed, and we had an income tax. So when we are at economic war with countries like China and other countries who dump their products here, what ends up happening is products that normally shouldn't cost as much as they do, like education, housing, many other things, we get a cheap TV out of it. We get some other cheap things out of it. When I say cheap, I mean inexpensive. But the reality is we economically are far worse off if we're not protecting our industries. And so countries like China, China can't feed itself. China has more economic output of durable goods than they can consume themselves. On the other hand, the United States, we can feed ourselves plus other countries, and we consume 80% of our own industrial output. So we have a much more balanced approach to our economy, and all those other nations really need to sell into the United States. So we shouldn't disadvantage ourselves. We should have a playing field tilted in favor of American workers, whether they're blue-collar, white-collar, or gray-collar.
Now, you'd run in this district before. You challenged incumbent Paul Ryan. He's not running again. What do you think, looking back at Paul Ryan's tenure, about how he represented this district?
Well, I think Paul Ryan, early on in his career, had the right ideas. I think he was for smaller government and was for helping people. But I think he was in that swamp too long, and the money and the power got to him, and so he started to drift away from what he should have been focused on, which is Wisconsin's first district. He wasn't even having town halls. I had close to 30 town halls since I announced June of last year, and I announced in June of last year because Paul Ryan was pushing the border adjustment tax, which would have treated all other nations the same in terms of tariffs, which is wrong. You don't want to treat your best customers like your worst customers, and so we should focus our tariffs on countries like China and others who are working against us. And that's why I ran in 2016, was to stop the Trans-Pacific Partnership. It would have turned the United States of America into the United States of Asia. And so Paul Ryan backpedaled on that in the days before my vote for the election. And then, thank God, President Trump signed us out of that his first Monday in office.
Talking to Paul Nealon, one of the Republican contenders in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District primary. You faced controversy since that last election over tweets in particular, pointing out many of your critics as being Jews and providing their contact information. Tweets that Twitter read as racist and banned you for led a lot of fellow Republicans to turn away from you. How do you account for all of that?
Well, just for a point of clarification, I did not give out people on Twitter's contact information. I gave their name, their Twitter handle, and over the course of 1 month, I tracked all of the people who sent me hateful messages on Twitter, only verified users, people who had the blue badge. And lo and behold, out of the 81 people that sent me those messages, a whopping 74 of them happened to be ethnically Jewish. And I'm an engineer. I make spreadsheets. I look at statistics, and I naturally look at trend analysis just as a matter of course, and I noticed that this doesn't seem even possible, that if 2% of the U.S. population is Jewish and 92% of the people sending me hateful messages are Jewish, that doesn't add up. And so I questioned that. I questioned why that was happening. And then separately, I think you conflated a little bit, or maybe I heard it that way, people who sent me horrible voicemail messages, if they picked up the phone and dialed my campaign number and left me, some left me death threats, I published their phone number and their message. And if they sent me a horrible Facebook private message, I posted their Facebook private message. The freedom of speech is a two-way street. You don't get to pick up the phone or hop on the internet and bash on people and not have that exposed. I think that's wrong, and I put my face out there to stand up against things like that. I'm all for free speech. I'm all for freedom of speech in both directions, which is why I filed the FEC complaint against Twitter just this week, and because Twitter is the de facto public square. And every time Twitter reprimanded me, I want to make this clear to everybody, every time I was reprimanded, it was preceded by several emails from Twitter telling me that I, in fact, had not broken their terms of service. So Twitter ultimately threw me off of their platform, even after sending me 23 emails affirming that I had not broken their terms of service.
Why is it important for you to highlight the Jewish identity of your critics to people who are following you on Twitter and elsewhere?
I was highlighting it because I was questioning it. Every single day in this country, blacks, whites, Hispanics, Han Chinese are criticized and critiqued for all sorts of reasons and all sorts of circumstances. So everybody, every race is criticized in this country for all sorts of reasons, every race except one, Jews. And it's a double standard. And so when somebody who's ethnically Jewish criticizes me, I firmly believe that I ought to be able to criticize them. So when I get questions, why would you criticize somebody who's Jewish, the answer is because they criticized me first. If you look back through the Wayback Machine and look at all the tweets, I never went out of my way to go after anybody, except Paul Ryan, and that was on his policies. It was not on his being a father or a husband or a family member to the Ryans or to their in-laws. It was only on his policies. And for anybody who was either ethnically Jewish or black or Hispanic or white or Han Chinese, if they attacked me or attacked America first, typically on the first time, I ignored them. It was after maybe two or three times that I then retaliated in kind, with the same level of response that they had given to me. So I don't see that as anything other than defending oneself.
Someone is tweeting at under the handle at Neelan1589 as Truth Teller. Is that you?
No, I'm not on Twitter right now.
You're not currently on Twitter.
No, I've been banned from Twitter.
Somebody,
which is why I filed that FEC complaint.
So somebody has been tweeting as they've used your picture in at least one instance, I believe.
Pete, there are so many pictures of me out there that I can't. How could I even control that? I mean, somebody, could be getting. I have no idea. How does a QAnon person send information out the way they're sending? I have no idea how that works.
Just in our last minute, to make a final pitch to voters.
Sure. I've lived in Wisconsin since 2008, with the exception of the time that my corporation sent me over to run Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. I've worked hard on behalf of Operation Homefront, which supports veterans, actually supports active duty service members' families. I'm an active Williams Bay Lions Club member. I've been a supporter of Safe Place, a women's shelter. I have donated tens of thousands of dollars, in fact, $50,000 in one shot to two Texas border sheriff's departments because they didn't have they didn't all have rifles and night vision equipment. So I care about my community. I'm active in my community. I'm active in my church. I'm active outside my church. And I hold town halls and take questions from everyone. I don't take questions that have been previously prepared for me. So,
and we'll have to leave it there for time. Thanks to Paul Nealon, businessman running for the House as a Republican in Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. That includes Janesville. Businessman and former Army Green Beret Nick Pulse will join us at this time tomorrow. Between now and the August 14th primary, candidates on the ballot in contested primaries have the opportunity to join us for interviews on Central Time and the Morning Show. You can find those at wisconsinvote.org.